The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus summoned the 12 and said to them, "You know that those who are recognized as rulers over the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones make their authority over them felt. But it shall not be so among you. Rather, whoever wishes to be great among you will be your servant. Whoever wishes to be first among you will be the slave of all. For the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
In 1941, a young Jewish psychiatrist by the name of Viktor Frankl got married. And within 9 months of being married, Viktor Frankl and his whole family would be taken to a concentration camp. And between 1942 and the end of the war, all of his family would die. First his father, and then his mother and brother, and then finally his wife. And when Viktor Frankl got out of the concentration camps, he wrote a book called Man's Search for Meaning. And it recounts his own experience, as well as those around him. And what separated those who had the will to live, those that found meaning in their lives and a future to live for, and those who were crushed under the terrible weight of their circumstances. And Viktor Frankl, he goes on to live until 1997. And looking out towards the end of his life at the modern world as we know it, as you and I live in, he had this to say: "Never have so many people had the means to live, and yet so little to live for." He means that our immense technological progress, our material abundance, the fact that medicine can prolong our lives, the fact that so much that you and I could want is the click of a button in a one-day delivery. Never have so many, especially in a community like ours, had the means to live, and yet still so little to live for. Because many people still, even with seemingly anything they could want, the necessities of life, but also the wants and the whims of life, still have trouble finding meaning. Brothers and sisters, this is because many of us still, even amidst abundance, are living superficially. We're skimming across the surface of our own existence, the existence of the people around us, in the meaning of this life. We're like the people that Jesus says, they look, but they do not see. We look at something, but we don't penetrate its depths, and the world doesn't reveal itself to us. And many of us experience this in different ways, because there are people here today who are caught in the throes of addiction. There are couples here today who are struggling in their marriage, and some are not even confident or comfortable talking about it with one another, so they're drifting towards a breaking point. We have young people in our pews today who are anxious about the question, "Am I enough?" And how do they prove that? They're continually checking their grades online. What is their grade point average? Did their team win their last game? We have many families in our pews that are exhausted. They're exhausted because being a parent's exhausting. Working is exhausting. Kids are in so many things, and parents are worried about making one mistake and ruining the life of their children. They're exhausted. And sometimes our families are exhausted because parents feel like their kids need to be doing all of these things to prove their worth to everyone else, but also so that some of our parents can be in the parent groups that they think they need to be in to be popular or accepted. which often comes with all of its own baggage. For many of us, we go to jobs that are not life-giving. We don't view them as a vocation. They are not ennobling to us. And in many ways, we're looking forward and living forward to the weekend or to vacation or to retirement. And so the biggest part of our life, the hours that we spend at work, we're trying to just get through. And so the biggest part of our life, in some ways, is a part that we wish didn't happen. And sisters, all of us, in many ways, are struggling to find meaning, even though seemingly we have everything we would need. And I'm not immune from this either. For some of you, you've heard the story of train wreck Jordan. When I was in high school and lost my grandfather very unexpectedly, and in a way in which my faith seemed to fail me. And in high school, at that time, losing my grandfather, but also a cousin and a friend to depression, and ultimately to losing their lives, I struggled to find meaning. My faith did not seem like enough, and I chased after anything and everything that would simply help me to feel, because I was numb, and none of them satisfied, until finally God broke back into my life and started a process of healing. But for all of us, Father Jordan included, it's not often one time in our life where we have to come face to face with that. For me, there was a time when I'd been working and going to school full time. I entered the seminary full time, and then I left seminary because I wasn't sure yet if I was called, and I was working with refugees, which I found incredibly life-giving. So I left seminary and I moved to North Carolina, where I worked with a refugee ministry, but also got back into politics full time in North Carolina and Washington, D.C. And seemingly I had all the things that I didn't seem to have in seminary. Beautiful girlfriend, amazing money. The bills that we were supporting were getting passed into law. Free trips to D.C. every month with everything paid for. And as a history nerd, that's a huge incentive. Seemingly everything. But there were still things in my life that I had not dealt with and that I did not want to face, particularly in that time. So what did I do? The same thing that many of you also fall into. I found myself working 80-hour weeks, not because I needed to, not because it was expected, not because it made me more productive or increased my chances for promotion. I did it because I was running and trying to get away from something, not running towards something, but running away. And I had to come face to face with that one night in our headquarters in Arlington. And it's about midnight and everyone else is gone. And I'm the only one there and I've got a 6 a.m. flight back to North Carolina, but I don't want to go back to the hotel, but I'm alone. And I'm looking out over the Arlington skyline and I ask myself, what has it all been for? As soon as I got to the place where I should be scoring points, it seems like the goalposts on happiness had moved. Brothers and sisters, all of us at some point face that, because never have so many had the means to live and so little to live for. But brothers and sisters, it doesn't have to be that way. Within the last about week and a half, I've celebrated 3 funerals. And when it comes to funerals, we do talk about in the eulogy, in the homily, some of the things that a person loved, some of their hobbies, some of their interests, some of their quirks. We talk about those things because they do make this person who they are. But what occupies most of the time and most of the conversation at a beautiful funeral? It's the fact that this person loved me into being. This person was so grounded in who they were and whose they were that they could sacrifice for me, encourage me, support me, build me up. They were so convinced of who they were that they could pour themselves out into my life, the life of my family, the life of this community, without worrying that they themselves would be left empty. Those are the most beautiful funerals that as a priest I get to celebrate. And brothers and sisters, that's how it should be for all of our lives, because we were made for more than the constant self-seeking, the constant questioning, the unbearable burden of having to invent for ourselves what is the meaning of life. And brothers and sisters, in the beginning, it was not so, because each and every one of us was made in wisdom and in love. Each and every one of us meant to catch and reflect the light of God into this world. Each and every one of us fearfully and wonderfully made. We just had the Feast of St. Francis a couple of weeks ago, and you do the pet blessing, and it's mostly dogs and a couple of cats, and one family said they thought about bringing their fish, and then I tried to think about how would I sprinkle a fish with holy water. And ultimately, I think you just got to bless the whole bowl. But I ask the people, why are there so many different types of animals? God could have made one, and it would be all that we know, and it would have been perfect. But that's not how God made the animals. He made such a multitude, such a diversity, even among all the dogs of the earth, to express in some way who he is. Because all of creation speaks about who God is and who you are and why he made it the way he did and where you and I are going. But we just have to look around and see it with the eyes of love. So the animals, all in their own way, reflect something about who God is. All of you in these pews today are unique and irrepeatable. God has never shown forth his perfection, his goodness, his kindness, his love, and the way he's done it through you ever before. And he won't ever do it again in the same way. So your job is to catch and reflect the light of God. Brothers and sisters, if we are made in the image and likeness of an infinite God, you will never exhaust your potential to become more deeply who he made you to be. We see this even in food. Food, yes, we need it for sustenance, but even something like food and really everything that's created, it's sacramental. It's not sacramental in the sense of the seven sacraments, but it's sacramental in the sense that God takes ordinary things, God takes material things, and he elevates them so that they go beyond themselves. So food, we need it for sustenance. There could be similarly just one kind of food that we eat all the time, and it'd be all we know. But God has made even that diverse and delicious and multifaceted, and every good meal shared is a foretaste of the Eucharist, where God feeds us with the finest food, and every other meal is meant to prepare us for that. Every meal shared is a giving of your gifts, a giving of yourself, a stopping from the midst of the world to share communion with others and to give thanks to God. It's the same even with a good drink, a good glass of wine, a glass of bourbon, especially shared with others. Here is this material thing that, when properly used, becomes a means of sharing life and communion with others around us. We step back and do something in some way useless, and we waste time with one another. And we share life together, and that's a taste of heaven, where we will share perfectly life with God and with the saints. Many of our school families are coming back from fall break, and many of you went and did wonderful things. Some of the things that the kids at the last mass said they did was to go out and hike and kayak. What is it like to climb a mountain, to be by a waterfall, or if you're staying up late to watch these meteor showers we're supposed to be able to see? What do you do? There's some physical phenomenons, but it's more than that. It's to stop and take in the beauty of this world that God has made and to step back and say, as creative as I think I am, as much as I think I could do this world better, I stand back and I'm in wonder at the beauty of God and his plan. And sometimes we step back like Job in chapter 38, where God shows him the beauty of the cosmos. And what does Job see? In the midst of everything he's been wrestling with, he's struck by the beauty of who God is, expressed through his creation. And he can even say, God, I realize now how small I am, and I thank you that I am not God, because your vision, your beauty, your power is so beyond anything that I could ever comprehend or dream of. Brothers and sisters, so much of the physical world around us is ordinary stuff that God desires in love to elevate, to express himself, to communicate himself, to bless you, to draw you into relationship, to comfort you when you are weak and afflicted. Brothers and sisters, many of us aren't relating to the things around us that way. We're not even relating to ourselves in the right way. It's exhausting, but there is another way. And what would our parish, our families, our community look like if we were healed and could enjoy these good things that God gives us in a healthy and holy way? And many of us are not interacting with them in that way. But it doesn't have to be so. Brothers and sisters, I want to invite you to an event. It's the Made for More event. We're hosting it here at St. Louis de Montfort on Monday, November 18th, from 7 to 9:30 p.m. We are blessed that our parish was chosen for Central Indiana to host Christopher West, who is one of the most highly regarded speakers on the theology of the body, the teachings of St. John Paul II, on what does it mean to be a human being? Where did we come from? Why are we here? Where are we going? And to realize that we were made in and through and for love, which many of us are not experiencing as fully as we should. So he'll be here. And it's not going to be a boring lecture, because God's plan for this world is not boring, and you're not meant to be bored. So there will be some speaking. There will be some music. There will be some multimedia. And you will be drawn into God's fascinating plan for this world and his fascination in you. Brothers and sisters, whether you're one of those people still struggling, still caught, still trapped, still searching, finding the goalpost moving as soon as you get there, whether you are that person or whether your life is going pretty good and you feel grounded in your most fundamental identity as God's beloved child, all of us have room to grow and become and be loved more fully into being. And all of you know somebody who's searching, somebody who's lost, somebody who's trapped and needs to be free and needs to know, what does it all mean? Brothers and sisters, those people, God desires to be at this event. And God willing, they will come. And they're not going to come because you invite them, because that's too small. Those people are going to come because you're going to spend $25 for yourself and maybe another for them to buy a ticket to come. Because brothers and sisters, to really help love this world into being, like the people who have loved you into being, most especially Jesus Christ himself, we have to put ourselves on the line in love for the sake of others. Brothers and sisters, there are parts of our lives we should look at with a holy dissatisfaction. And praise God, this isn't as good as it gets. Praise God, you're not as good as it gets. God's not done with you. So I'd like to end just with a prayer. It's a prayer that was composed by a man reflecting on his life. His mother had been an alcoholic early in her life and struggled with that addiction. He himself, growing up, chased after all the pleasures of the world. He himself ran away from home and became a teenage father. He himself attained material success and walked in the corridors of power as a speechwriter to some of the greatest statesmen of his time. And ultimately, at some point, he turned around and realized that he had been missing what was most important. And the good things that God offered him, he had misused, because he hadn't realized that he was made for more. And that man is St. Augustine. Too late have I loved you, O beauty so ancient, O beauty so new. Too late have I loved you. You were within me, but I was outside myself. And there I sought you. In my weakness, I ran after the beauty of the things you have made. You were with me, and I was not with you. The things you have made kept me from you, the things which would have no being unless they existed in you. You have called, you have cried, and you have pierced my deafness. You have radiated forth, you have shined out brightly, and you have dispelled my blindness. You have sent forth your fragrance, and I have breathed it in, and I long for you. I have tasted you, and I hunger and thirst for you. You have touched me, and I ardently desire your peace. Brothers and sisters, if you or someone you would know would be interested in the Made for More event, there will be parish staff in the narthex afterwards. You can scan a QR code and buy tickets on your phone, or you can buy a physical copy of a ticket. But again, all of us have more room to be loved more fully into being.